This Family Life News Podcast is made possible by the support of listeners like you.
It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome aboard. It's March Madness, folks, and we're not talking college basketball. Meteorologist Kevin Williams says uncommon cold has settled in.
The calendar tells us it's spring, but the weather map says forget about it. Winter rules.
The cold holds this second full day of spring. Wind chills in the single digits this morning. Temperatures won't make it past freezing this afternoon. It's rinse, recycle, repeat tomorrow, Saturday and Sunday before warmer days arrive next week. More Americans are home from Haiti, where gang violence is spreading. The State Department sending helicopters in to get U.S. residents out.
Our hope is to keep these options available for American citizens who need it. We do expect these helicopter movements to make multiple trips.
State Department spokesman Vidant Patel says more than 500 Americans are trapped in Haiti. Correspondent Griff Jenkins.
It's a race against time to get these stranded Americans out of Haiti as those armed gangs continue to take over the capital.
The state of Florida is doing its part to get citizens away from danger. Governor Ron DeSantis.
These are folks that need our help now because the situation has become very dire. So we're going to do everything within our power to be able to bring more and more Floridians back to safety.
Kevin Guthrie with the Florida Division of Emergency Management.
You're dealing with basically a non-government in Haiti right now that's being controlled by gangs. And we have individuals that are actively prohibiting us from trying to do what it is that we need to do.
Florida is partnering with the not-for-profit Project Dynamo to get Americans out of Haiti. For the first time, the U.S. is sponsoring a resolution that calls for an immediate ceasefire to the war in Gaza.
Washington has blocked previous U.N. Security Council resolutions from using the word immediate, but Secretary of State Blinken in the Middle East today confirmed the latest wording.
Well, in fact, we actually have a resolution that we put forward right now that's before the United Nations Security Council that does call for an immediate ceasefire tied to the release of hostages.
Blinken is set to meet with five Arab foreign ministers in Egypt before heading on to Israel.
Cammy McCormick at the Pentagon. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals expected to rule soon on the legality of a Texas law that lets local police arrest illegal immigrants. Nate Foy with Fox News.
The Biden administration argues that it oversteps, that it interferes with federal authority over the border, but Texas Congressman Tony Gonzalez tells Fox News that the Biden administration doesn't use the authority that it already has. A possible problem is the Mexican government saying that it won't comply if the law goes into effect.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott's thumbing his nose at the Fifth Circuit, saying he'll direct local police to arrest migrants regardless what the court says.
Texas has a right to defend ourselves, and we will use that authority to declare an invasion and fight back against that invasion.
Some 8 million illegal immigrants have crossed the southern border since President Biden took office. The father of Georgia nursing student Lakin Riley is begging state lawmakers to protect Americans from migrant crime after his daughter was murdered last month.
I stand before you a heartbroken man. Part of my purpose has been taken. God gave me a beautiful daughter to father, protect, provide for, and nurture. A man with an evil heart stole her life. He was in this country and in this state illegally. Governor Kemp, please declare an invasion to detain and deport criminal illegals so we can prevent future families from those tragedies.
Jason Riley testifying yesterday at the Georgia State House in Atlanta. Biden bailout. The White House forgiving another batch of student loans, this time for 78,000 teachers, police officers, and other public servants. Price tag on this loan forgiveness program, $6 billion. The chairman of the House Oversight Committee has invited the president to testify at his own impeachment hearings after a wild hearing yesterday where Hunter Biden was a no-show, but his former business associates had a lot to say. Take a listen.
Was Hunter Biden telling the truth when he testified under oath that his father was never involved in any of his business dealings?
No, he was not. Those are all blatant lies.
Do you know whether the Biden family made any money from China?
They did. Millions of dollars. I think approximately $8 to $9 million. Yeah, I think it's actually over 10 million.
Mr. Bobulinski, who's the big guy?
Joe Biden.
You're sure?
I'm 1,000% sure.
Those were some of the highlights from yesterday's hearing, featuring testimony from former Biden business associate Tony Bobulinski. House Republicans, however, have yet to connect Biden's business dealings with any official acts by the president, which would be necessary, say legal analysts, to prove a bribery charge. Manhunt in Idaho. A white supremacist is on the lam after a daring escape from a Boise hospital. Reporter Elise Preston.
Just steps from the emergency room. Bullets struck three officers, forcing this hospital on lockdown. Convicted felon Skylar Meade was being escorted after an emergency hospital visit. Investigators say a gunman dressed in dark clothing opened fire.
The shots rang out as the white supremacist was being loaded into the back of a police van. Police Chief Ron Weiniger.
We believe that this was a coordinated attack, ambush on the Department of Corrections officers, and certainly a planned endeavor to free him from custody.
The injured officers are expected to survive. Skylar Meade had been in prison for almost 8 years for shooting at a sheriff's deputy. It's a new kind of dieting, and a new study says it's dangerous to your health.
People who do intermittent fasting may be 91% more likely to die of heart failure. This is a major finding from the American Heart Association. They analyzed 20,000 people who ate for 8 hours and fasted for 16, and they saw a 91% higher risk of death from cardiovascular disease.
Correspondent Cooper Lawrence, baseball's highest paid player is smarting from a major league ripoff.
Ohtani, a little blooper in the left. That's going to get down.
The LA Dodgers accused the interpreter for Japanese megastar Shohei Ohtani of siphoning off millions of his dollars. Correspondent Lucy Kraft has more from Tokyo.
39-year-old Ipe Mizuhara was more than just a translator for Shohei Ohtani. The two were so close that Mizuhara had access to Ohtani's bank account and allegedly was able to embezzle $4.5 million to cover his illicit gambling debts.
The interpreter has been fired. Still to come on the Noon Report, water advisory lifted, cops in schools, and debating the minimum wage.
Good afternoon. I'm Kevin Williams. Second full day of spring, but winter still rules the roost. Forecast details are up in 10.
All right, Kevin, thank you. News where you live next. Niagara Falls preparing for an influx of tourists for next month's solar eclipse. Family Life's Dee Haley.
With the Great American Eclipse less than 3 weeks away, the city of Niagara Falls has been ranked as one of the best places for viewing by National Geographic. While Niagara Falls is used to visitors, officials say the eclipse is different because of how many people are estimated to be coming all at once. Hotels, Airbnbs, and other accommodations in the city are reportedly almost entirely booked. An additional 500,000 people are estimated to be in the area. Tourism leaders say while the weather is the one thing that they cannot entirely plan for, rain or shine, Niagara Falls is always an attraction. Dee Haley, Family Life News.
It sure is. Thank you, Dee. There are multiple injuries after a tractor trailer slammed into a home in Brighton, New York. The crash last night happened on South Clinton Avenue, causing extensive damage to the home. First responders say snow squalls at the time might be to blame. The city of Rochester has lifted a boil water advisory. That happened early this morning. It was issued Tuesday after a body was discovered in the Highland Park Reservoir. This woman wasn't sure how to take that news.
I feel slightly uneasy about it. It's a little worrisome to know that we've been drinking the water, using the water for every day, everything for cooking, cleaning, drinking, all of it. So I don't know. I'm just feeling a little sick to my stomach about it.
Rochester Mayor Malik Evans this morning identified the man in the reservoir. 29-year-old Abdulhi Muya had been in the water for nearly a month. Changes may be coming soon to how teachers are evaluated in New York. The state's largest teachers union wants those evaluations handled at the local level. NYSUT President Melinda Person says the move will support new teachers.
So this would actually be a fair and just system that would support
support them in becoming better educators, which is ultimately what they all want to do anyway.
Since 2010, teacher evaluations have been linked to student test scores. Teachers argue that's not fair, especially given the learning loss that happened during COVID. A new four-year contract will be voted on soon by 5,000 college professors who work for the state system of higher education in Pennsylvania. That vote happens in early April. The faculty are employed at 10 state-owned universities across the Commonwealth. There are calls for more cops to patrol the schools in Buffalo, where fights are breaking out between students with greater regularity.
We have had a fight at every single school, every single day.
The Reverend James Giles with the Western New York Peacemakers says calls are made every single day to 911 because of fights in school. The Pennsylvania House may take action soon to better monitor how children interact on social media. This legislation requires social media companies notify parents if their kids exchange sensitive or graphic content. The measure also requires parental consent before a child under 16 can open their own social media account. New York Assemblyman Harry Bronson wants minimum wage parity between the upstate and downstate regions. He's calling for a statewide minimum wage of $17 an hour.
We need to have a universal minimum wage because it's the floor. It's the bottom. And so it should be even across the state.
But business leaders argue there's reasons for that geographical line in the sand. Bob Duffy with the Greater Rochester Chamber of Commerce says the downstate economy is nothing like the upstate economy.
The cost of living, cost of housing, everything is much more expensive in New York City. But it doesn't translate into upstate. And I do believe it would have a harmful effect on so many businesses.
Duffy says when a business leaves New York City, it's like a tree falling in the forest. But when a business leaves upstate New York, it's like a tree falling on your house. The Pennsylvania Senate wants to increase penalties for parents who leave their children unattended while they gamble at casinos. There have been numerous cases of this of late in the Commonwealth. Children left abandoned at casinos while their parents gamble. A new law in New York restricts the sale of dietary supplements to anyone under 18.
It prohibits selling products with weight loss or muscle building supplements to minors. A pending lawsuit claims the law can lead to unnecessary product bans, and the advertising regulations infringe on speech condoning legal activity. The penalties include fines up to $500 for each violation. One critic said it's amazing that state lawmakers fully support permanently disfiguring minors with gender reassignment surgery, but health supplements are a bridge too far. The law is set to take effect next month. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
All right, Jeremy, thank you for that. New legislation in Pennsylvania would let student athletes opt out of high school gym class. State Senator Chris Dush argues PE requirements should be satisfied through a student athlete's participation in interscholastic sports. Dush says his measure permits student athletes more time to pursue advanced placement classes, which could help them meet their educational goals faster. Sports news next. We call it the 2-minute drill on the Family Life Noon Report.
Good afternoon. I'm Randy Snavely. Bob, the 76ers continue to struggle with MVP Joel Embiid sidelined. Last night in Phoenix, Philadelphia fell behind by 26 points early in the fourth quarter before rallying to make the score somewhat respectable, 115-102. Grayson Allen led the Suns with 32 points. He knocked down 9 threes in the game. Kevin Durant added 22. The Sixers were led by Kelly Oubre Jr. with 18. Philadelphia falls now to 38-31 on the season. Elsewhere on the hardwood, the Heat edged the Cavs 107-104. Indiana handled Detroit 122-103. The Celtics beat the Bucks 122-119. The Kings hammered the Raptors 123-89. The Jazz lost to Oklahoma City 119-107. The Clippers 116-103 winners over the Trailblazers. And Golden State won easily over Memphis 137-116. On the ice, Austin Matthews had a night in Washington. The Maple Leafs star scored his NHL-leading 56th and 57th goals of the season. Also had three assists. The outing matched a career-high 5 points in a game for Matthews as Toronto blew out the Capitals 7-3. Alex Ovechkin scored twice for the Caps. Dallas beat Arizona 5-2. The Kings dominated the Wild 6-0. In college hoops, the final two teams to go dancing are Grambling and Colorado. Grambling won in overtime over Montana State, 88-81. That earns them the right to face number one seed Purdue on Friday. Colorado beat Boise State 60-53 to secure the 10th seed in the South. They will go up against Florida in the first round. And, of course, action about to begin in the March Madness Tournament. That is a look at sports.
All right, thank you, Randy. Get those brackets ready, folks. It's about to get underway. And still to come on the Noon Report, Kevin Williams says winter-like through the weekend. Martha Menikas-Foster tells us what a welcoming church looks like. And Brian Querry reminds us it's the little things that matter most.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. Well, according to recent Gallup polls, 71% of Americans now think that so-called same-sex marriage should be legal. 64% believe that gay or lesbian relationships are morally acceptable. These numbers are double from just a generation ago. Among those who attend church weekly, in fact, 41% now support so-called same-sex marriage, while 67% of those who attend church less frequently do. Now, how is it that so many, including so many in the church, now embrace a view of marriage that was just a few decades ago unthinkable? Long before the Supreme Court decision in Obergefell v. Hodges, that case that legalized same-sex unions as so-called marriages, the meaning of marriage was already fraying. This was due to a host of cultural factors, but perhaps none more important than birth control. The invention and widespread acceptance of the pill in the 20th century finally severed what was long understood to be a package deal: marriage, sex, and children. And the only way for sex to be morally severed from marriage was for it to be detached from the good and natural consequence of potential new life. As a result, extramarital sex was destigmatized, and even more, sexual pleasure and romance replaced commitment and children as the defining features of marriage. And of course, Hollywood helped too. The definitive sitcoms of the 1980s focused on the family, but in the 1990s, shows like Sex and the City and Friends portrayed an idealized, hypersexual, hyperromantic, commitment-free world. Movies and shows initiated viewers into what Dr. Thaddeus Williams has called the cult of the self, where following your heart is the highest goal in life. In a culture drunk on all of these ideals, the silly and observably false slogan of the gay rights movement, "Love is love," just made perfect sense. Digital technologies, of course, added significant fuel to the fire as well. New media, the combination of internet, social media, and smartphones, accelerated shifting views about marriage and sex. As author Samuel James noted, the online world put users at the center of their own universe and gave them, and I quote here, limitless freedom to make fantasy reality. Now, to counter the lies about love, marriage, and sex that are so prevalent in our culture, and to ground yourself in truth, check out identityproject.tv. That's identityproject.tv. The Identity Project is a collaborative effort of about 30 organizations producing the most comprehensive library available of on-demand videos and resources that address the key issues of identity, humanness, and sexuality, all from a Judeo-Christian worldview. And for a special discount this month, go to identityproject.tv, that's identityproject.tv, and enter Breakpoint at checkout. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. Today's Breakpoint was co-authored by Jared Hayden. If you're a fan of Breakpoint, leave us a review at your favorite podcast app. And for more resources to live like a Christian today, go to breakpoint.org.
Thank you, John. Outside next, a very busy Kevin Williams.
Here is your family life weather forecast. The call for this afternoon, a mixture of clouds and sunshine with lake flurries and a bitter breeze. High temps, upper 20s to the middle 30s. Mainly clear and cold tonight, low in the teens and low 20s. Tomorrow, some sun and clouding up. Snow mixed with sleet and rain will arrive later in the afternoon in western New York and northwest Pennsylvania. High temps, mid-30s to mid-40s. Snow continuing for a while Saturday, and temperatures mostly in the 30s, 40s in parts of central and eastern Pennsylvania.
All right, Kevin, thank you. A biting breeze out there today. Bundle up if you're headed out. out. This is the Noon Report on Family Life. I'm your host, Bob Price, recapping our top story Thursday, March 21st, out of Haiti. The U.S. State Department sending helicopters to the island nation to airlift Americans away from the gang violence. Correspondent Jillian Turner.
State officials are not yet confirming how many helicopters they plan to send or how many Americans might be rescued over the coming days.
More than 500 Americans are said to be trapped in Haiti, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis.
It's easier to get into this country illegally through our southern border than it is for us to rescue U.S. citizens from a country that's collapsed and where they're in danger.
He's sponsoring several flights today to Haiti to rescue Americans stuck on the island. They include Jill Dolan, an American missionary who runs an orphanage in Haiti. Her daughter, Sarah, spoke to Fox News earlier today.
The danger level is just, it's very high, and all you hear at night is gunfire all night out front their hotel. It's nonstop.
Rival gangs are embroiled in a brutal power struggle for control of Port-au-Prince. The prime minister resigned last week due to the ongoing violence. Switching gears now, got a question for you this Thursday afternoon. How welcoming are you to outsiders at your church? Well, Family Life's Martha Manikas Foster gets some insights from the Reverend Alex Mark. He's the senior pastor of the First Scots Presbyterian Church in Beaufort, South Carolina.
So, Alex, many of us could do better at welcoming visitors. So much of what we as Christians say we're about, our essence is wrapped up in how we treat others, I mean, most especially strangers. How do you connect being present in worship services with the way that we engage visitors?
Intentionally engaging visitors can be such an act of worship. If Jesus Christ is really precious to us, if we love him, we ought to long for other people to love him as well. And so it's not just our singing, it's not just our listening to the word, but it's being an incredibly warm and welcoming church on Sunday mornings. I know some people in the pews are introverts, and that's really hard for introverts to do.
It is, yes.
For an introvert to go and do these things makes it even more worshipful to God.
It's costly. It's a sacrifice. Yes. But to God.
And he's so worth it. You know, initiating conversations with visitors can be really difficult. I'm 42 years old. I think my generation and younger, at the very least, we think awkward interaction is the unpardonable sin. It's terrifying. And so uncertainty and insecurity can abound when you're looking at somebody that they're a visitor and you're thinking, have I met them before? Should I know their name?
Right.
Will she think I'm weird if I go strike up a conversation? What if I totally blow it? You know, we have a saying at our church, anything worth doing is worth doing badly. If it's a good thing to do, do it even if we can't do it perfectly. And so we are always urging one another, don't let insecurities prevent you from doing what God intends and what visitors need. So go and introduce yourself and risk it, even if maybe you've met them before and you've forgotten their name.
Mm-hmm.
Or ask someone who's alone to sit with you. Help visitors connect with other people. And as you get more comfortable with that, start setting a couple of extra seats at the table so you can have people over for fellowship meal after the service.
Mm-hmm.
Good food makes up for a multitude of other shortcomings.
Even for being awkward, yes.
Exactly. And so it doesn't matter what else the church is really good at. If the church is not warm and welcoming, a lot of times people are not going to come back. And the converse is true. A church that may not have life all together, and that would be our church. We don't have it all together here. But our people go well out of their way to welcome others as an act of worship, and it is a joy to watch.
That is some really good stuff right there from the Reverend Alex Mark, senior pastor of First Scots Presbyterian Church in Beaufort, South Carolina. You're listening to the Noon Report, a Thursday edition on the Family Life Radio Network.
A Christian school that seeks First Amendment protections as it sought to protect its female athletes from a 6-foot-tall basketball player born a boy. This is Faith Under Fire, the Family Life news feature which gives voice to religious battlegrounds. Our guest today is Jake Reed, an attorney for the Alliance Defending Freedom, which brought suit on behalf of the Mid-Vermont Christian School.
So we've asked the court to effectively allow Mid-Vermont Christian School back into the Vermont Principals Association and a town tuitioning program, which is another aspect of this case. The defendants in the case have asked the court to dismiss the case, and we're currently in that stage. So, in fact, we have a hearing that was scheduled. That's for April 19th.
Now, the situation that triggered this, walk us through what happened and what the state organization did to this school, because it tried to stand up for the safety of its athletes, even though the other team and the state is wanting to stand up for inclusion of all of their athletes.
Regarding the Vermont Principals Association, so that is a state-sponsored athletic association. Mid-Vermont Christian School had been a member of that association for almost 30 years without incident or problem. But last year, it's girls basketball, who had a very successful season, was set to play a team in the state playoffs. And this other team had a biological male on the team. As the name might suggest, Mid-Vermont Christian School is a Christian school and therefore has certain beliefs that guide all aspects of its operation, including how it facilitates and operates and runs a sports team. Well, here we have girls basketball who was set to play against a biological male. The school believed that doing so would facilitate what it believes to be a lie, that sex is mutable and could be changed. Certainly the school does not believe that. You know, the implications with having to force its 15, 16, 17-year-old girls to play against a biological male. It decided to forfeit that game rather than force its girls to play against the male. And in response, the Vermont Principals Association not simply allowed the forfeiture to be a penalty in and of itself, but actually expelled Mid-Vermont Christian School from the entirety of the league. Not just girls basketball, not just athletics. This applies to educational competitions as well.
As you have studied things that are going on in Vermont, that's obviously a nationwide trend with this controversy coming up. Have either of those organizations evicted a member school for anything, let alone whether it was this kind of a situation or anything else?
So with respect to the VPA, the Vermont Principals Association, this is certainly, as far as we can tell, the first incident of this kind where the league has gone so far as to completely expel a school from the league. And remember, this not only burdens and hurts the school, but we're really punishing 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old students and their parents who have decided, made the active, conscious decision that they want to send their children to a Christian school because of the values it teaches and instills, and they're being punished as a result of this.
So what is the reaction of the people at Mid-Vermont Christian School?
You know, it's certainly disheartening to say the least when the government punishes you as a Christian school because you believe certain things and want to act according to those beliefs. And not only that, mind you, we also have two families who are plaintiffs in this case. And the one family, Chris Goodwin, he's a plaintiff. He's also the head coach of the girls' basketball team. Again, the theme being Vermont is discriminating against a Christian school and its families because they seek to follow their religious beliefs. It's unfair. It's unjust. But most of all, it's unconstitutional, which is why we sued.
Jake Reed is an attorney for the Mid-Vermont Christian School, which has gone to court after the state association that oversees high school sports kicked the school completely out of the association. Mid-Vermont forfeited a girls' basketball game in the state tournament after they were asked to play an opponent who had a player who is transgender. I'm Greg Gillespie. This is Faith Under Fire from Family Life News.
All right, very important story. Thank you so much, Greg. Faith Under Fire comes your way Thursdays during the Noon Report or online anytime at familylife.org. Just look for the News tab on our podcast page. And coming up after the break, why common courtesy never goes out of style.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Certainly a wintry spell up late, and that continues this afternoon with a bitter breeze and a mixture of sunshine and lake flakes. Things will settle down and chill down further tonight. Then we watch a disturbance arriving from the Midwest late tomorrow, a system moving up the East Coast Saturday morning. That'll mean snow, sleet, and rain. The call for this afternoon,
A mixture of clouds and sunshine with lake flurries and a bitter breeze. High temps, upper 20s to the middle 30s. Mainly clear and cold tonight, low in the teens and low 20s. Tomorrow, some sun and clouding up. Snow mixed with sleet and rain will arrive later in the afternoon in western New York and northwest Pennsylvania. High temps, mid-30s to mid-40s. Snow, sleet, and rain tomorrow night. Snow continuing for a while Saturday. And we'll have to watch for some accumulations, especially across elevated areas of western and central New York. And temperatures on Saturday, mostly in the 30s, except 40s in parts of central and eastern Pennsylvania.
All right, yet again, it is the second day of spring, but we'll get there eventually. We always do. Biting breeze out there today. Make sure you bundle up if you're headed outside. And finally, from us at noon for Thursday, it is, after all, the little things that sometimes make the biggest difference. Family Life's Brian Querry has more in this report.
With our ever-busy lives, we often forget that simple things and small gestures of kindness can truly make a difference. And today is the day to remind us of those simple things, as it's National Common Courtesy Day. Though the exact origins of the holiday aren't well documented, the day is celebrated to show us that the world is a better place when we show gratitude and graciousness in both big and small ways. It only takes a small gesture to be a big hero. Courtesy means different things to everyone, and there are a lot of ways you can show it today. Maybe it's giving up your seat for someone who needs it more, not cutting in line, saying please and thank you, or making more coffee if you drink the last cup. So today, remember to do something nice. It could make a world of difference. You don't need to thank me for the reminder. It's complimentary. Brian Querry, Family Life News.
All right, Brian, thank you so much for that. And folks, we are out of time. That's the world we live in. Thursday, March 21st. I'm Bob Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to this Family Life News podcast. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard, please share it with others and click the subscribe button to automatically receive future episodes. Family Life is a listener-supported ministry. Podcasts like this are made possible by your financial partnership. Find out more at familylife.org.